Welcome to the United Uncovered podcast as we go behind the scenes at the Theatre of Dreams. I'm Mark Sullivan from MUTV and I'm joined by Nathan Thomas, Ben Hibbs and Adam Bostock from the club website. Coming up on today's show, we pay tribute to a former Busby babe, Bill Foulkes, who sadly passed away aged 81. Paddy Crowan's Alex Stepney and Sammy McElroy remember a true legend.
And Bill was having this meeting and he said to Clive, listen, the first time that ball comes up to your centre forward, forget the ball, just head the back of his head.
We celebrate Ryan Giggs' 40th birthday and hear from his teammates Rio Ferdinand and Michael Carrick.
In the game of football in the world, there's no better example than Giggsy. So, you know, we're very lucky to have him.
And finally, Nani and Anderson chat exclusively to the United Uncovered podcast about their friendship on and off the pitch.
Nani, I think his skills is unbelievable, you know. You have a great shot, you have a good cross. I think Nani can be one of the best players in the world. He has quality for that.
Well, we start with the sad news that Bill Foulkes passed away aged 81. Adam, Foulkes really was a great servant to Manchester United.
He certainly was, Mark. I mean, there's only three players who've, of course, made more appearances for the club than Bill Foulkes. His teammate, Sir Bobby Charlton, who, of course, for many, many years was the record holder. More recently, Ryan Giggs has surpassed that. And, of course, tucked in third place is Paul Scholes. So when you consider that only Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs and Sir Bobby Charlton have played more games, that tells you just what a contribution he did make to the club's history.
And he really has played a significant part in that history, Ben, from the Busby Babes through the Munich Air disaster and on to winning that first European Cup.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that always sort of gets me with Bill Foulkes is that sort of story when he first joined and he was still working down the pits in the coal mines, wheeling carts. And he used to do that 5 days a week and he would train at United on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you just think it's just a totally different era that we're talking about here. But even when you look at him, you just think he looks iron tough, doesn't he? You know, he just looks so strong. And I think the fact that, you know, a lot of his former teammates have come out and sort of said that he was a sort of gentle giant, but he was somebody you could sort of really rely on. I think there's lots of nice tributes this week, and, you know, obviously it is very, very sad, the news, but it's also nice that you can celebrate the fact that he was such a great servant for United.
I spoke to one of his teammates on the day that the news broke, Wilf McGuinness, and you know, he said quite simply, you know, Bill deserves all the praise we can give him. You know, and Wilf was you know, clearly very sad to lose a good friend and a former teammate, but, you know, he was determined that the younger fans got to learn more about Bill this week through content on the website and programmes on MUTV. So it was good of Wilf to say that. And as Ben said, there were plenty of other nice things said about him by various people.
I think what's sort of most notable with Bill is he's a true giant of the club in terms of not only from the playing side, in terms of obviously after Munich, and obviously Matt Busby, rightly so, get so much credit for turning the club around following the disaster, but he couldn't have done it without the lieutenants, you know, namely Jimmy Murphy and Bill, you know, who was, you know, off the pitch and on it, such a crucial part. And I think people sometimes underestimate what a huge sort of trauma that would have been, you know, for anybody, but to come back and have to play and perform week in, week out, I'm not sure whether, you know, people could do it these days. You know, they were a tougher type back then, I think, and Bill was a prime example of that.
I think in those days, of course, the clubs were much smaller, weren't they, as well? And I think the players like Bill, the senior players, were perhaps a bit closer to the decision-making process than the players are today, when there's a whole raft of staff between the players and the management, be they sports scientists or fitness coaches, etc. But as Nathan sort of suggested there, you know, Bill was very much part of the command team, if you want to call it that, that rebuilt the club after Munich. And, you know, it spanned, was it an incredible 18 seasons or something, which I know we've been brought up on Ryan Giggs and how much he's achieved in the game. But if you put aside Ryan, who's a bit of a freak, you know, in terms of his longevity, 18 seasons at a club like this and through such a turbulent and dramatic period, it's quite an incredible achievement in itself. So, you know, hats off to Bill and may rest in peace.
Yeah, our thoughts certainly with his family and friends, of course. Now, Paddy Crowe and Alex Stepney and Sammy McElroy all pay tribute to the former club captain and legend, Bill Foulkes.
Well, what the lad said there, he was a tough character. He was a reserve team manager, actually, when I went. And I always remember a story, Bill, when he was reserve team manager. And we had a young lad called Clive Griffiths, who was a centre-back. Yes. Not a tall lad, but very stocky. And Bill was having this meeting, and he said to Clive, listen, the first time that ball comes up to your centre-forward, forget the ball, just head the back of his head. Head the back of his head. And Clive just looked us up. He says, are you serious, Bill? And he was serious. Head the back of his head to see if he comes back for more.
But you know, you remember Alex as well, and it was in your day as well when a centre forward get the ball played up to him. Boosh,
the lot. That's right.
Everything,
yeah.
And you got away with it.
I think one of the games I remember was when we played down at Southampton. I mean, Ron Davis was, he didn't like playing against Big Ron, because Ron was one of, we all had players that we didn't want to play against, but Ron was always scored some goals. And we're losing 2-0 at the Dell, because it was close, wasn't it? And Ron had scored two headers. And I just scolded to Bill, and I said, hey, come on, what's going on?
Did you not use bad language?
Well, I wouldn't swear it. I was frightened of him. But the thing was, when the next attack came in, boom, up he went with Ron Davis, and he just looked at me and he went like that, and there's blood streaming out of Ron Davis's head, and we drew the game 2-2. I mean, that was Bill.
A Munich survivor.
Yeah.
A remarkably brave in that dreadful situation.
I mean, obviously I wasn't there at that time, but what he must have gone through, seeing all his teammates and all that sort of thing. It's a pity Greggy didn't live locally. We could have been Harry Gregan, but there's not very many of them left now. There's only Harry and Bobby. Just a pity.
He became the captain, didn't he, when they got to Wembley after that?
Yeah.
Well, I think he played right back, didn't he, Paddy, at that final?
Yeah.
Final,
you can imagine, after going through all that sort of thing. No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what you would do if you went through all that sort of.
Well, actually, nothing was ever said in the dressing room, Paddy.
No.
Was it? You know, I mean, obviously there was Bobby and Bill and Sir Matt who survived it, but not one of us. And I never spoke to him. We were roommates, but it was just something that, if that feeling that you don't talk about.
Funny enough, I came home before you, 4 years before you, Alex. Nobody ever mentioned
it. Never mentioned
it. Right.
Point. After the final, when that final whistle went, if you look at it, normally you go to your nearest teammates, and we all went to them.
Yeah.
We all went to them. And it wasn't even rehearsed or anything. No. That's how much respect and the team.
The feeling you had for them.
Now, the evergreen Ryan Giggs celebrates his 40th birthday this week, so we thought we'd join the party. We are running out of words to describe this man, Ben, aren't we? Just such a legendary player in the game.
Yeah, I think the thing with Giggs is just how much he's changed over his whole sort of career. I mean, obviously he's been around for 22 seasons, but I think the fact that he's moved with the times, and the game has changed a lot in those 22 years. If you go back to when he made his debut in the first division, of course, I think you look at the transformation now. You mentioned the sports science teams earlier on, and I think we've seen a lot of players fall by the wayside during that time. And I think the fact that he's just kept developing his game and moved on and evolved is a testament to him. And I think it just comes down to his desire to want to keep playing. Because I think some players perhaps get into their 30s, early 30s, and they either physically can't carry on or they mentally don't want to. But he's just got that drive, and he just keeps going, and he still looks like he could go on again.
I think that's the most scary thing about Giggs is that, like Ben says, yes, he's 40, coming up to 40, but he just doesn't show any signs of stopping. And although obviously he can't do it now, you know, Saturday, Wednesday, what, you know, when he's on form, he's up there with, you know, top couple of players at the club. And, you know, when he came on against Cardiff on Saturday, he was on the pitch for, you know, a matter of moments when he puts that fantastic ball in for Rooney last night. We saw it with Nani. You know, he's moved from this sort of pacey winger with skill and tricks to this sort of, you know, centre midfielder with vision and craft and guile. And it's amazing how he's moved and still maintained the quality in both positions.
I think what was interesting is David Moyes, the way he sort of speaks about Ryan Giggs. And he obviously knew he was a great player. He could see that when he was managing at Everton and he came up against him. But working with him day to day, and he says, I'm so lucky to to work with him. So I think that says a lot about the influence that he's got and how intelligent a footballer he is. And I think, you know, we see that now. He's perhaps not got the same pace that he had at the start, but his intelligence is really important, his experience on the pitch, particularly in European games. We saw that in the game this week against Bayer Leverkusen. He's just got the experience to deal with all these different situations. He's a calming influence on the other players. So he's still very much an asset.
Yeah, I love what Rooney said about Giggs as well in the post-match interview after that Leverkusen game, when he said even the Leverkusen defender, the centre-back, was asking Giggs, how the hell are you carrying on at the age of 40? The respect for Giggs, Adam, is not just throughout the domestic leagues, it's global.
It is, absolutely. You know, there was an ovation, wasn't the last season?
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, where, you know, well, you know, the fact that it was Real Madrid, those fans know a good player when they see one. They've been, you know, blessed with some of the greatest players in the world at that club. So it was tremendously touching, actually, to see the respect that you know Ryan achieves and is afforded around the world. And you know, he's such an inspirational figure to young players now. And I think young players look at him and think, you know, with players in their 20s and think, oh, I just couldn't carry on as long as he has. But who knows, because of the advances in the game and the way players are looked after these days, perhaps, you know, this kind of achievement, playing top flight football at 40, will become a more commonplace thing.
Well, Gordon Strachan and Teddy Sheringham both played Premier League football through the age of 40. Gary Neville thinks Giggs could make it on to be 41 and still playing. Where will it all end then?
Well, I mean,
we hope it never ends, by the way.
You don't want it to, yeah. But Gary Neville said something interesting to us this week, and he said that what he's done is will be remembered in sport, not just football. And I think that's an important distinction to make, because he's an elite athlete. I think, really, you look at the way he looks after himself and he tries to make improvements to his game. It's, what he's done isn't just a sort of phenomenal in football. I think, you know, any sports person could look at what he's done and admire it. And I think very few people who do that transcend their sport. You know, you look at like Michael Jordan, people like that. You know, I think I'd put him in that sort of bracket.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
I guess it's fitting then that he had the involvement in the Olympics last year, really, you know, because as we all know, he hasn't played on a big international stage in Wales, yeah. But certainly that he was at least recognised in the global sporting sense, as Ben said there. So his part of the Olympics was an important one, perhaps for that reason. I mean, maybe, you know, has he got his eye on the magic 1,000 figure? I don't know. In terms of 1,000 games for United, that is, he's already achieved it in terms of his career. When you add in the Welsh representation, so we'll have to wait and see what the end of the season brings, which in itself is still quite a long way away. A lot can happen between then and now. But as Nathan said earlier, you know, he still has a big part to play on the pitch, and those two passes in the space of a few days for Wayne that wasn't taken, the Nanny that was converted, you know, just shows you what he's capable of.
I think, you know, talking there about the future, and I think that the good thing is that whether it is on the pitch or in a coaching capacity, he's going to have that influence because he's got so much experience, so much knowledge. And I think that one of the exciting things is what is he going to do next? Because I don't think that's necessarily that we have to say we're not going to have him here as a player. I think he's going to have an influence as a coach, and who knows, he might even become United manager one day. You know, he knows so much about the club, and people respect him so much that you know, that is a possibility.
Yeah. I think the retention of people like Ryan and Paul Scholes, Nicky Butt, Phil Neville, we shouldn't underestimate that, really. I mean, you look at the Bayern Munich model. Everyone seems to hold up Bayern Munich now as the way to do things in various aspects of football business. But they've certainly always had big names on their sort of backroom staff in various roles, like Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and figures like that, you know, who were retained at the club, because to lose them would be, well, it'd be folly, really, to let these people walk out the door and take their knowledge elsewhere. So, yeah, it's great that he's had this player-coach role. I think he's probably doing more of the playing than the coaching at the moment. We'll see how that mix changes going forward.
Yeah, Giggs certainly is a massive presence at the club. We can now hear from another veteran, Rio Ferdinand, on Giggs's influence in the dressing room. We'll also hear from teammate Michael Carrick on Giggs's achievements.
I think more than anything, he's quite a calming influence. I think he's not one to shout on ball. But when he does speak up, it's normally good information and people take notice. So But in the dressing room, I think he's just good. He, especially now in the role that he's in now, you'll see him talking to the wide players every now and again. If you see something in training, you just pick him out and just say, listen, you could be doing this or that to help your game and stuff. And I think it's important. I think, like I've said before, that he's been through every single situation that you could be thrown at as a footballer on the pitch and in the training ground and stuff. So someone with that experience, you have to use that as a club. And that's what the club are doing now.
Yeah, there are world-class players throughout this team, but is it fair to say that even they are in awe a little bit of Ryan Giggs and look up to him?
Yeah, I think you have to be. I think even myself, I just sit there and think to myself, could I be playing for Man United in 5 years' time? No, it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Because I know what my body's like and how hard physically it is to do that. And if your body's not going to be able to stand up to that, then there's no chance. And I think he's genetically been made the right way for him to be playing to this age, but he's also had to help that by working on things off the pitch, yoga, etc.
And how approachable is Ryan when young players, or maybe even not young players, but can you go to Ryan at any time and ask him questions? Is he happy?
Yeah, I mean, he's a cool guy, so he's not someone who's aloof and I've done this and I'm the big I am. He's not like that at all. He's just chilled and he's there to lean on if you need him.
It's just, every time you speak about Giggs, he's just, what's more left to say? I think it's just, I remember, for instance, when I first signed and people then were talking about Giggs being, the older sort of, more experienced and passing things on to the, and being sort of an important part of the squad and everyone looking up to him. And that was 7 years ago. And he's still exactly the same now. Nothing's changed, and his performances this season again have just haven't dropped in any way. And physically, he's in great shape, and all credit to him for doing that, and obviously the backroom staff for helping him with that. But his actual performances is just incredible, and he's just an example for not just for young players, but for people like myself who trying to learn how he does things and. Trying to take things on board for myself, knowing that it's vital, sort of when you come in your 30s, mid-30s, to do different things to try and prolong your career. And, in the game of football in the world, there's no better example than Giggsy. So, we're very lucky to have him, and he's still going strong. So I don't know how long we'll be having this conversation for, still, like a few years yet.
And of course, everybody here on the United Uncovered podcast and at the club wish Ryan Giggs a very happy 40th birthday. Okay, next we have an exclusive interview with Nani and Anderson as the pair open up about their friendship.
Nani, Anderson, great to see you. I must ask you a little bit about each other. So you must tell me honestly what you think about each other. I'll start, Ando, with you. What do you think are Nani's best qualities?
Nani, I think his skills is unbelievable, You have a great shot, you have a good cross. I think Nani can be one of the best players in the world. He has quality for that.
What do you think about that? It's a very nice answer. I thought he was going to be a bit more, more ruthless.
I have to say it's true. The quality here is amazing. I think you have great skills, you have a good cross, you have a great shot.
What do you think about Ander? What's he like, Nani?
Yeah, Anderson is great person. I think everyone like him the way he are. I think as a footballer, he's a fantastic player. He have great qualities. So he needs to believe on him as well and keep working hard because we have a great player here at United. Like he said to me, he can be one of the best in the world on his position as well.
And in terms of being as good as you can both be, how important is the friendship that you have?
Me and Nani is not like being seen Nani every. I see him every day, because I have Brazilian countries, I have Portugal country. But when it's together, everyone all the time is joking, me, him, Chiche, other players. Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, it's always nice to have to be together, to sometimes try to do something different in the day, go for lunch or go to his house or just come to my house. because we spent so many years together. We are more time. We spend more time sometimes than maybe with your family, and we start to know each other so well. Then sometimes we have some fight, some arguments. Because it's too many time, so many time together, then sometimes you don't. You be.
You don't want to see him. People don't want to see, you know, because when it's too many, stay like 6-7 years together. When me and he come together for the club.
So we know that you get on very well and you have a lot of good times. But what are the worst things that you do? Do you have a bad habit, maybe?
I have a great personality, Nani as well have great. So if he don't like one thing, he say to me. If I don't like, I say to him, he come a little bit argue, but it's normal, you know, just for one day, 2 days not talk, my next day come back.
It's like a marriage.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next day you want to go live, I go mine, the next day start normal.
But it's good like that, because when it's always right, it's not fun, because sometimes you need to be angry with your teammate and then talk say what you think, and if you're not happy with something you have to tell. So that's make like a family, you know. Yeah, it's good.
When I talk to a lot of your teammates, I say, who is the joker in the squad? A lot of people say Ando.
Yeah, it's true.
Is that true?
It's true, yeah, it's true. Because
I take the life serious as well, you know, but I think you have to enjoy the life, you know. You just can't be serious all the time. I think you have to, you know, make your friends happy, you play the best team, you have good life, your family have good life. I think you have to be happy every day.
So, for example, if I said to you, you could pick a superpower, you could fly, or you could do something like that, what would you pick? What would you want to do? How would you change yourself?
First, one, just one or two?
Oh, you
can
have two. Okay,
I'll
let you have two or three. Go on.
Okay. First, I want to live forever. Second, I want to have money forever. Third, I think I finish poor people's. I think I give money for everyone, very poor, you know, try to help Africa, China, Brazil, everyone I can do. This is my dream.
Good choice, huh?
What about you?
Yeah, I will do quite the same. I think the most important is the life. You live your life happy and try to help the ones who don't have a possibility to have food, good conditions to live a life, and try to enjoy every day, because we know that it's a lot of good things we have in life, is money, the material. It's good for you to have fun, but we know it's not the most important. And sometimes we need to think about others don't have what we have to enjoy the life every day.
One last question for you both, and that is, if you could describe each other in three words, what three words would you use, Nani, to describe Ando?
Three. Talent. Very strong personality. I have to say one bad man. talent, personality.
He don't listen.
That's a good one.
What about the other way?
Happy. Energy and funny.
Okay, finally, the Reds win by Leverkusen meant 11 unbeaten in all competitions. A fantastic run. November's been a good month, Nathan.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's funny, really. I was discussing this with Ben before that it is unbeaten in 11, but it doesn't necessarily feel like it. I think we've had a couple of results in that run that were maybe disappointing, you know, namely the Cardiff one and the Southampton one. And I think if, you know, had we held on against Cardiff and Southampton, maybe the feeling would have been slightly better. But on the other hand, it is a really good run, especially going into Christmas, you know, when it gets there's a hectic fixture schedule. And to finish the month last night with the 5-0 win, that's just going to bring a good feeling to the camp. And we want that, you know, ahead of a tough fixture against Spurs on Sunday.
Certainly is a tough fixture against Spurs. But of course, we cannot underestimate how much we needed this unbeaten run, Ben, given the nature of the attack, it seems, from the press at times, when the Reds were stuttering early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was... I think people will look back on that period and just think that it was inevitable that you bring a new manager in and it's a new manager after having somebody else there in charge for 26 years. It's never going to be a completely smooth transition. So I don't think that it's... I think people look back on that and think that it wasn't a major sort of blip or anything like that. It was just sort of the manager getting used to his new club. But I think it's very encouraging that we've gone on this unbeaten run. I think, you know, as Nathan says, I think you will have those setbacks now and again. I think David Moyes has acknowledged that there will be days where there are disappointments, and you always have that at United anyway, but it's how you respond. And I think that he's done a number of things really well. I think the way that he's dealt with Wayne Rooney in particular has been fantastic. I think part of that's down to Wayne himself. He looks like he's really sort of hungry and really wants it, but I think David Moyes has given him that opportunity to bring that out in his game. So I think there's a lot of encouraging signs, and that has really come to the fore in November, where we've just, you know, gone on this unbeaten run.
I mean, the Bayer Leverkusen result does stand out, doesn't it, Adam, as the best performance of that month, if not the season as a whole, but plenty of important results as well, including the Arsenal win.
Yeah, that was the big game that you looked at going into the month. You're thinking that's the one we have to win. We have to put down a marker, really, and just, you know, let everyone know that actually, yes, we are in this title race. Thank you very much. It's not going to be a two-horse or a three-horse race between Arsenal, Chelsea and City. It was a hard-fought one, that one. It was quite a contrasting game, if you were to compare it with Leverkusen away. Very, very different matches. But the grit and determination to get the job done against Arsenal was very evident. And I think that's really when we've sort of started to see the beginnings of the return of the United we know, really, you know, the ability to sort of shut up shop and keep at bay. You know, Arsenal, who are, of course, are themselves having a very good season. So that was very encouraging. And just, you know, the manner in which they sort of cut through Bayer Leverkusen for the second time this season, of course, you know, where it's an old-fashioned aggregate match, it would have been a two-legged match. It would have been 9-2 to United against Leverkusen. And Leverkusen are a strong side in Germany. So, yeah, let's hope we can carry it forward into December. Most important thing, really, is just to try and carry some of that impressive European form into the league. But it's difficult. You know, there's still a lot of points to be won, and a lot of teams are getting stronger around us as well. So, but it sounds certainly encouraging. And you know, players like Rooney are having a great time, and others as well who are starting to play a more important part, like Antonio Valencia, and others I could mention.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hope we can continue November's form into December. That's what we've got time for here on the United Uncovered podcast. Don't forget you can keep up to date with the Barclays Premier League champions on manunited.com, Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. From Adam, Ben and Nathan and myself, it's bye for now.